Ach, Bosser, Benafshay, Domoy, Loisei, Chelu. This is the Sheva Mitzvah Pnei Noach, not to eat, Eve Minachai. Then the Pasuk says, Vaches, Dimchem, Benafshay, Seichem, Edrash, Miyad, Kol Chaya. I will be Doirish, your Nefesh. Which this Pashtis, the Gemara learns out, is the Makor that a person is not allowed to commit suicide. Aches dimchen lenafshei seichem, yad kol chaya, edreshenem yad odom, yad ishecha, vedreifes nefesh odom. Then the Pasuk says, shofech dam o odom, beodom dam yishofech. Over here the Pasuk, the Gemara learns out, is the issur of abortion. Dam, who's in odom, beodom, when do you have an odom who's inside another odom? Ve'oimer de uber, that's an uber, dam yishofech. Can you tell him the kima says Adam? So I want to explain today, what I want to talk about today is I need Rachmanis today, but as Hashem, hopefully, you know, usually sometimes you need that the shir should sell, you know, you need to put on a performance. Yeah. And sometimes you need the actual content of the shir is enough of a performance. So today what we're going to talk about is the issue of brain death, right? Something that is always I see some smile. No, I didn't mean anybody. But it's something that's always I can't say it's Kar of the Libi, the Sugya, but it's the first time I ever got a brain death at Shaila. I got about 3 months ago, and since then I was Isaac a lot in the Sugya. And there's a lot of little ideas that people have, and I want to try today to explain a little bit what the issue is. Now that this is one of the extremely, controversial issues, and this is what's most negay, of course, is that once we can establish a person as being brain dead, so then we have the possibility of doing transplantation. In other words, that's in the Goyish world. We'll see in the Yiddish world what's the halacha. But once a person has a heart that's pumping, and just to explain this very bekitz, I'll explain a little bit more when we get to the actual part, but kol zman, that the heart is pumping, so the circulation goes throughout the body. And the body is kivyachol, the body, we'll see in a moment if it's really alive or not, but it's alive, which makes it that the kidneys are working, which makes it that the heart, of course, is working, which makes it that the liver is working, which makes it that the cornea is working, which makes it that all the various parts that a person would like to transplant, or be transplanted to, that a person would like to have transplanted, are viable. Berega, the heart stops. Berega, that the circulation stops. Within 2 minutes, it's impossible to do any transplantation. Now, the market nowadays of transplantation is a major market. There's a regular market, there's a black market. This is one of definitely in Europe, but maybe even in America, it's one of the greatest black markets that exist in all of the world nowadays. Because it's not so simple to get body parts. There's always a necessity. And you're talking about there's a backup. When I looked into the sugya 2 months ago, 3 months ago, there's a necessity of over 100,000 kidneys. So you're talking about a supply and demand, which of course is more, you know, demand than there is supply. Okay, so we'll try to what's it called. You have to remember, not everybody's right. Not every kidney is matim, is sugapas for the person needs a kidney, etc., etc. So I'm going to just give one big little background to understand the sugya a little bit more. You know, it's important to have a little bit of shkafa dik to understand the sugya, but not mamish what the vel calls a shkafa. But before we get into halacha, I just want to explain one nekuda. The sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, which is really, it's a whole attitude, and that's where the entire goyish attitude, we'll see, has a whole different background. There's a fundamental difference between the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach and the mitzvahs of the Tayyig mitzvahs. It's not what people think, that it's, you know, there's seven mitzvahs, and we at Matan Torah, it was expanded to 613. You know, and kilu, whatever was Gidei Arayis, so it's expanded, or whatever is Ritzicha by a guy is also Ritzicha by us. And that, you know, wasn't added at Sinai. Everything else, the other 608 were, the other 607 were added at Sinai. 606, math isn't so good today, huh? But the other 606 were added at Sinai. It's not like that Bechlau. Now, just to prove to you, and then I'll explain it, you know, by a goy, if a goy steals, even less than a shava pruta, a goy is chayiv misa. If a yid steals, it has to be, number one, a shava pruta. Number two, it's not chayiv misa if he steals. So you see, there's already a whole different ball game in the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. L'mashal, a goy that eats eva minachai. A goy that eats eva minachai. So, does he have to eat a kizayis of Eivim Nechai? No. He just has to have one bite of Eivim Nechai, one culture of Eivim Nechai, and he's already over. When it comes to Ritzicha, all these concepts, when it comes to Ritzicha, by a Jew, the Isser to perform an abortion is certainly not Chayiv Misa. It's a shaila what it is exactly. But for a Jew to perform an abortion, it's a shaila. Is it an issa deraisa? Pasha is issa deraisa, but maybe it's issa derabana, or Moshe Aldo is issa deraisa. Fine. At least one thing is emes today, that's for sure.
Is it doing it or having it done?
No. So right now I'm talking specifically about having it done, the child of abortion, the child of grandma the Ritzicha. I'm just trying to show the oilam, if a guy performs an abortion, he's chayv misa, just like he killed a real person. You see already that there's a tremendous, you know, not discrepancy, it's obviously a whole different ball game, the Sheva Mitzvah Spnei Noyach and the 613. I'm going to explain this mamish b'kitzer because it's a tremendous arichas, but just in order to get into what we want to talk about today with brain death, so I explain one nekuda, is how the Nefesh HaChaim, HaChaim V'Lajon explains it's a tremendous yisayin. Also, it's a tremendous yisayin, an appreciation of what's a Yiddish and Neshama. It's a merit kazach. The Nefesh HaChaim explains that a guy, the Sheva Mitzvah Spnei Noyach were given as societal rules, because you understand, we can't have it like the way Rashi explains it, you know, somebody comes over to, you know, a horse and Pasha takes out a bite. You can't have such a matziv. We can't have society. We can't have a matziv of where, you know, Nimrod is stealing from Nebuchadnezzar. Good luck, it's not a good place to sit. Nimrod is stealing from Nebuchadnezzar. We can't have such a matziv. It's, you know, we have to have societal rules. So in societal rules, there's different rules. The Marshal. In societal rules, so when you have, for example, the question of abortion. Right? So in societal rules, there, when you're making a cheshbin of loss of life, so who's more of a loss of life? A person that's, you know, he's already 90 years old and he's going to live to be 91, or someone who hasn't been born yet? Avada, more of a loss of life is the person who hasn't been born yet, if you think about it, because he's got another 96 years over here, and this person has another 96 hours over here. So when you're going into the realm of Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noyach and what he caused society, so you understand this is a terrible loss to society. That's why by Goyim the laws are different. By Goyim it doesn't make a difference if he takes a kezias out of Mabel the cow. There the nekuda is that we can't have this. It's like, you know, there's an animal kingdom, there's a plant kingdom, there's a this kingdom, and you know, everybody should keep to their own. Not that the Yankel should be, that Ivan should walk down the street and take a bite out of a cow. We can't have that. So it doesn't matter how much of a bite he took. That's the idea. That's societal. Dinim, the same thing with Gezel. There, we cannot have it that you're taking from somebody else. So we have to put a stop to it from the beginning. We can't have it, but it's not a matter of an amount or not an amount. That's by Goyim. By Yidin, Rabbi Chaim explains it's a whole different concept. It's you have a neshama. Your neshama is connected to every other neshama in Klal Yisrael, and it's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shemayim. So it's what you're doing when a person Khalili does a rais, or he does Ritzicha, the same things as the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noyach. When he does one of the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noyach, but he's a Jew, so then what he did was something totally different. It wasn't that he affected society. Of course, he also affected society, but it wasn't just that you affect society. It's that when I, for example, if I steal Chas V'Shalom, or if I look where I shouldn't look, or if I say what I shouldn't say, so what I'm doing at that moment, in addition to what I do to society, by talking lashon hara, or by murdering, etc., that's one aspect. But then there's another aspect, is that you poikim your neshama, which is not just your neshama. It's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's connected to all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael, so it's a whole different realm. For example, Nefesh HaChaim says, you know, we know that there's a ruchnias ozone layer, right? And a person doesn't have air on it, it creates terrible pekah. He says, that's only by Jews. By goy, the goy that kills, it doesn't create that pagam. Because the goy, the problem that we try to deal with a goy, is society. It's a society should be able to function. And that's why, for example, by a Jew, it's a whole different world. That's why by a Jew, for example, it could be that abortion it's vade that abortion is not chayv misa. Because there, whatever the pagam is, I mean, each one you'd have to dam one by one, which we're not going to be able to today, but the pagam is a whole different pagam. It's what is he doing to his own neshama. So every aveira that you do affects your neshama, which affects the Rebbeinu Shalom, which affects the whole entire world. By a guy, it's societal laws. Now, I'm giving you this akdama. I mean, it's a sham, we're going to come back to it. But I'm going to come now to the actual shayla straight on the table of brain death. Now, let me give you first a little bit of background. A little bit of background. And then we'll explain what the issues at hand are. I started to explain already that when you need to perform, again, like I said, the transplant market is a tremendous market. And like I said, the kidneys and corneas and livers, these are hearts for sure. These are, now, there is a problem here. Because the doctors need parts. Right? The doctors need parts. So, we'll go in order, all the issues here. We can't mistama apialaga, right? We can't mistama have the doctors being the ones that are trying to figure out at what point is called death. Now, let me give you a little bit of background there by side. In 1968, you know, when they did the first transplant ever, I don't even think it was a heart transplant, it was a liver transplant, in this type of matziv, the person who did the operation, right, went on trial for murder. Eventually, he was an English fellow. He went on trial eventually for murder. Why? Because he claimed that the person was dead. They said, the person's not dead. What makes him dead? He was in a permanent coma. Now, until that point, the definition in the world of the status of what they call brain death, which we have to convey in a moment what that is, but the definition of brain death until that point was permanent coma. What does it mean? It means they were able to, based on statistics, say that, look, anyone who's in this matziv, which I'll explain in a moment what's brain death, but anyone in this matziv of brain death has never come out of brain death. And the eventuality of that was always death. So until that point, the definition was that a person who's in a status of permanent coma is alive, right? Which, you know, we don't know anything. We'll see in a moment. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. But he's alive. Why is he alive? Because the heart is pumping. The blood is circulating. Everything's fine. The fact that his brain is not working, and the fact that Avada, within 2-3 days, if he's not attacked the machines, he will for sure die, because the brain will stop sending messages. But until that point, he's called alive. So this person, this Baal Chesed, said, look, you know, such a shame. He's going to die in 2 days anyways, right? Ivan over there, he needs a liver, right? And Peter needs a schnitzel, and this one needs a liver, right? So, you know, it's such a waste of body. It's about Tashkis Mamish. So he cut him up like a schnitzel, took out his liver, took out some other things, v'chule, v'chule, and mamela, the kishka, the dust, again, right? Now, the next day, they tried him for murder. Now, the world, over the course of the next 12 years, was in major turmoil, debating this status. What's this status? Is this status called death, or is it called permanent coma? Finally, I think in about 1980, America, the Board of Health in America, they came out that they accept this definition as death. That spread like hot fire throughout the world. And then that became the definition of death. In other words, a permanent coma, mitzad, no function of the brain, right? I'm not talking like, you know, a shiva bakar. I'm talking like mamash, you know. No function of the brain, bichlal, that will never end. Yeah? So that type of a matziv was deemed death in the world. No, that, Rabbi Yisai, was a very, very convenient definition, because from that point on, you know, we just have to wait till the brain stops, and from that point on, boom, now we can take out, like we said, you know, we can take out the liver, take out kidneys, schnitzel, herring, the whole work, and you can do all the transplantation that you want.
Okay. You for sure die every time they're in the coma.
In other words, for sure, if he's not attached to the machine, because once the blood, there's no blood circulate, the brain will no longer be able to be getting its blood. Once this brain not giving any messages anymore, so Kolzman, he's attached to a machine, he could be pumping for the next year. Pump and pump.
Out of the brain damage by being in the machine?
Sorry?
Does the machine help him get out of the brain damage?
Well, we'll see in a moment. Pashtus, no. Right? We'll see in a moment that once you're going to have, you know, a few reported cases is that, yeah. So then one way to look at it is it's an ace, right? But I'll explain. Let's say you'd have someone that they cut off his head. That's called Hutas Raisha in the Gemara. They cut off his head. Now, we have never heard of a case ever in the history of the world that they cut off his head and it came back to life. If we did, that would be called Chiyas HaMeisim, right? Now, if you're going to define brain death as Hutas Raisha, his brain is no longer connected to his body. So, Pashtis, it would mean that we can never even have one case. We can't even have one case, right? Because we know we'd never have one case where his head would be cut off. Bereg, I'd have one case even, and we'll see, it wasn't just one case, but Bereg, I'd have one case that would send a tremendous pickbook into your entire definition of death, because we see that somebody came back. But okay, you know, the statistics are also important. In the Goyish world, this doesn't make a difference. If they could tell you that 99.9% of the time the guy never came back, so we can accept that. Harvard accepted that as a valid definition of death, and that's it. And I'm shanished. He's not alive. Okay, now let's go to Judaism for a minute. Okay, that's in the Goyish world. Most of the Paiskim, Shalom Zalman, Rav Ligashev, the whole entire Shaila we're about to discuss now doesn't start. Most of the Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael, most of the Paiskim in the world, Batsim, doesn't start Bechlal, this entire Shaila. Why? Because most of the Paiskim hold that in order to be Kaveya, if someone is dead or if someone's alive, so the definition is not Tali in brain. The definition is Tali in the heart. And Memela, which that's the Metzias in all these situations of brain death, is that the brain, which we'll see in a moment, if it's yeah, dead or not dead, it's, let's say it's dead or whatever, but the heart is still pumping. And you understand that if the heart is attached to the machine, so now to remove him from that machine, what we call, you know, pulling the plug, to remove him from that machine, and to now allow that the transplantation, etc., should take place, is actual murder. Because if the brain, albeit the brain is dead, but if the heart is pumping, and we have to now remove him from this machine in order to be able to do whatever operations we have, so then since the heart was still pumping, that's called that this person is still alive. Okay. So according to most of the Paiskim, in the world, the Shaila does not start, because brain death, even if you would call whatever you want, call permanent coma, call whatever you want, but that's not how we define if a person is alive. We define a person's Leibedekite based if his heart is pumping. And this person, his heart is pumping, so nothing starts. Okay. This whole Shaila starts with Rav Moshe. Now, I'm going to tell you what Rav Moshe says, okay, and then, you know, I'm trying to down it. The statement that we have from Rav Moshe, and again, as you understand, Rav Moshe, Sishka Van King doctor, Rav Moshe was asked in this specific Metzias, listen very closely, in this Metzias, is this person considered alive? Right? Or is this person considered dead? What was the Metzias that they put in front of Rav Moshe? So the way it's written in the Tshuva, very bekitzer, and it's also in one of the later tshuvas, which are not so easy to be seimech on, but, you know, even Lefi, what that tshuva says over there, the tshuva says that Rav Moshe said that when all of the brain cells are dead, okay, listen closely, when all of the brain cells are dead, so Rav Moshe said that's called an halacha, hutaz roishai, his decapitation, his brain has been, his neck of Yaakov, his entire head has been severed from his body, which is debatable. You know, a person whose body has been severed in such an knife, and his brain, his entire head has been cut off, so all of a sudden the actual body starts going berserk, it starts going meshuga, right? Because the bloods are pumping everywhere, and that person will die even if you put him on machines within 2 seconds. Mashain Kane, a person who goes brain death, we know that's not the case. We know that his body can remain attached to machines, and he could sit and live for another 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Okay, but Ramesh is Dachar Ramesh. And Rav Moshe said that that's the equivalent, if his brain cells, the brain cells are all dead, so that's an equivalent of a hutas raisha. Again, I'm going to make that clear. That's already a chiddush which the other Paiskim didn't accept. Because they said, what do you mean? We see there's a tremendous difference between what happens to the body when the brain cells all die and what happens to the body when his head gets chopped off. But Rav Moshe is a Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is not like that. So now, within this definition of Rav Moshe, we have what to work with. In other words, if you have a person, and, you know, we're talking about, I'm not getting involved now about when you're allowed to cut up, you certainly can't cut up a body part to save a guy, and you certainly can't cut up a body part when there's nobody in front of you who requires it. But let's say, you know, simple case, in Eretz Yisrael, it's Negea, there's always Jews, there's always people that require the body part. And he wants to know, should he sign a card that says, you know, on the back of his license, right? He wants to, that the, you know, that they could take his kidney, they could take his herring, his schnitzels, everything, the kishka's cut. Right? So then, lefi this, it would come out, lefi Rav Moshe, we'd have what to talk about. If he would have total cessation of brain cells, all the brain cells would die. So then, once he would attract a trailer, would hit him, and they would establish him as brain dead. So now, they would be able to go and do whatever they want. Now, very, very important, don't forget, because ad kama, that we have to wait till the heart dies, he's worthless. His body is worthless. Because then, there was no circulation, the kidneys don't work, nothing works, the heart doesn't work, nothing. We can't use it if even 1 minute has gone by. I think now, they got up to 72 seconds. After the heart dies, they have still 72 seconds, which of course, in this type of a situation, you can't cut up a body in 72 seconds. So, you know, we're talking about something which is an impossibility. Okay. Now, the shot is like this. There is a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael who, you know, has this problem. His problem is that he wants to be able, you know, you have to remember in halacha, you can never start out with the solution, with what we need, right? If, you know, we have to get that. You know, sometimes a person will call me up on Erev Shabbos, they have a shayla on Shabbos and this, that, and say, no, but it's got to be mutar. You know, I'll tell them, you know, it's a snishkin aguna, it's not an aguna. You know, like aguna, we have to find a heter for, right? But this is not an aguna. Not everything in Allah has to be mutar. But, you know, if you start out with that attitude where, you know, we need this organ, so now we have to make sure that Allah shtims with it, okay? If you go in with that attitude, avada it's going to be mutar. Right? Avada. Right? But let's see. So he has this problem. He needs organs. It's this rabbi needs organs. Right? He has a big black yarmulke also, and he also promised to be a doctor. So he says, look, I need organs. And I need to make sure that the guy's dead because I have this problem called Torah. And Torah says you can't take out the body parts until the fellow is no longer alive. So what are we going to do? So we have to shtimma. So he says, Givaldi, I have Ramesha. Game over, right? It's everything simple. Once we will do the brain death test, which I'll explain to you in a moment, and we establish that his brain is no longer alive, so then we'll say that according to Ramesha, it's not called Ritzicha, and we can cut him up like a schnitzel. No, the problem is like this. The test that they do for brain death, what they require doesn't necessarily seem to fit Rav Moshe's requirement. Now, listen closely. This is where it gets fun. But it's very simple. The brain death test, and this will explain what you were asking before also. Can you have a metzias of where a person reawakens after this brain death test? Now, very simply, they'll do three tests over the course of 24 hours. Now, you have to remember, Boisai, we want this guy dead. I mean, we're very concerned that to save the life of the other person. Sorry. We're very concerned to save the life of the other person, right? Now, this person over here, think about what's going through my mind, Dr. Mengel, whatever, doctor. What's going through my mind is, look, you know, he is not going to be doing much for society anyways, right? He's brain dead, right? No, not like what we said. You know, that's the example we use. Like, what are you, brain dead? He's brain dead. He won't be doing much for society anyways, number one. Number two, you know, I'm going with my Ben Noach concepts. My Ben Noach concepts are like, you know, if you're alive and fleshic and you're Esav, so then you're being piled for the world. If not, why can't we take out your spleen and use it for something better, right? Like a barbecue. Right? So, you know, you have to remember that. So when they're going to be, when the Goyim are doing their tests, so the tests that the Goyim are doing, it's a primitive test. It's a very simple test. You know, is there any brain movement? Is there any brain messages given out? No. Seder. So if I see some fuzzy message or whatever, so a Goyish doctor is going to say, I'm Seder. He's dead. Now, that's not enough for us. Oh, not enough, right? And this rabbi, of course, that's not enough for us. No, not enough, right? So we'll do a more efficient test. Whatever. I'm oversimplifying because I want to get to a point. Right? And then after three times, we'll establish that the brain is dead. The problem is like this. There's something in your body. I'm just giving you one example of the 80 or 90 problems here to show you why it's not so simple. There's something in your body called the hemostasis. Okay? You know what that is? No. Right. Okay, what's a hemostasis? Hemostasis is, anybody, Khalilah, who is diabetic or his father is diabetic, so he would know from this. But the hemostasis is the brain, I don't want to say brain because I'll get in trouble, but it's a message that goes out to your body to produce insulin, right? Give insulin. That's the hemostasis job, right? Now, very interestingly enough, is that we need this hemostasis to be alive in order to do transplantation. Again, I'm oversimplifying, but just the kids are, because at time the body is not producing insulin, so whatever, without going into it, the kidneys aren't happy about that, the heart isn't happy about that, even the cornea is not happy about that, no one is happy about that. Right? So now, I have a big kasha. That means that I'm telling you that every time we do a transplant of a liver, of a heart, of a kidney, I'm telling you that the hemostasis is still knocking, right? And he's producing insulin. Because if not, then the kidney's not going to work in the next person. Okay? Everyone's with me so far? Okay. Now, where's the hemostasis? Where's the hemostasis? So I'm going to tell you exactly what the hemostasis is. Everybody take your hand. I've still got broken ribs, so it's hard for me to do this, but go like this. Right under where you put your tefillin. Right? Yeah. That's where your hemostasis is. Okay? That is a gland that produces a message, basically, and it tells the rest of your body, insulin. Now, in order to check for insulin, how difficult a test is that? It is the easiest test in the world. Any diabetic knows, you just take either a needle or this, and just go, right? And, you know, prick here, prick there. So if we would want to check, is this person's hemostasis alive? We just take a needle, go like this, right? And then we would, within less than a second, know that it's hemostasis. Now, are the goyim checking for this? Of course not. Because they don't care that it's alive. That would ruin everything, right? If that would be alive, that would ruin everything. Because then, what are you going to say? He's alive, so then we wouldn't be able to do any operation. So in Harvard's definition of death, it's okay if your hemostasis is alive because the brain is dead, right? The rest of the brain functions. When this was asked, now, go back to Rav Moshe's definition a moment. Rav Moshe, what were the words Rav Moshe said? He said, when all of the cells in the brain are dead. All of the cells. So he's asked to this rabbi, Tal Chaira, you don't have Rav Moshe anymore. Because we know Now, just do a little math. We know that all the transplantations are being done when a hemostasis is still alive. I'm giving you one of the 80 examples. But we know that all of the transplantations are being done when the hemostasis is still alive. And it obviously means that there's a message that is being released from the brain. So then 99.9% of the brain cells are dead, but, you know, this one is not. Right? So it's a checkmate. Right? So you can't kill him. No? I mean, you can't... right? No? It's over. No?
The hemostasis is part of the brain.
Oh, so what do you do when you're in trouble? What are you doing when you're in trouble? Right? What are you doing in trouble? You know, you're playing a game, right? And they're blitzing. You understand the matchup now? They're blitzing. And there's the big guys. You know, the over said the guys that were shaving when they were 8, right? And you're like, and they're running towards you. I broke my rib. This is very, very painful for me even to remember this. Right? And they're running towards you. Oh my goodness, what do we do? What do we do? And you look at that guy, you think, oh my goodness, he hasn't shaved since he's 8, right? And you're running, and you're running this way, and you're running this way, right? And they're catching it. So what do you have to do, right? So sometimes you flip it behind you, Darton, and you put one of these moves, and you know, I can't do it in front of you guys right now, but then boom, you know, right? So what does he do? So he says, what? What do you mean? The hemostasis is not, it's not a part of it's a gland. It's a gland, right? It's a gland. Right? Next time you get into a fight, you bruise it, right? You're a gland. Your gland. Right? Whenever you're in trouble, you say, what makes something into a gland? Is what do you mean? It's a gland. Now, let me say, let's make a question of you. What's a gland? Do you know what a gland is? Come on, you know what a gland is? You know what a gland is? You don't know what a gland is. You know what a gland is? It's
something.
Yeah. Your gland. Is that true? Yes.
Sure.
Why not? Right? Yeah. Are you a gland? Your gland. You're one big gland, right? They're all glands, right? Now, so the problem is, so they went back to, now let me explain. We went back to this rabbi, and I asked him, look, it's a gland, it's true, it's a gland, right? But it's a gland in the realm of the brain. Now, Chazal, they don't know from glands, and they don't know from, what they know is one thing. They know whatever's in this part of the brain, in other words, I shouldn't say the word brain, no, I'll say that word now, but whatever's in this part of the head, so if there would be, for example, a nekev in the membrane, that follows, that covers the brain. Membrane's not a brain, don't worry. A membrane that covers the area, if it'd be a nekev, the animal would be a trefil, right? Where is that membrane? It follows the whole entire area. The hemostasis is in there. In Chazal's definition of brain, anything that's in that neighborhood, doesn't matter what you call it, called pickle juice, right? But he's in what Chazal call brain. Okay. Once Chazal called this guy brain, that means that Rav Moshe's definition is no longer applicable. All of the brain cells are not dead. There's something producing a message. Now, this is an example of one of the, you know, 80 flaws in this. Another example. You asked before. Once we have on record, which the Goyim certainly have on record, that always every, I think the Lashon was, I have a neighbor, son actually learns in my college, and he's a big doctor in Detroit. At the wine guard, he told me, like, you know, we have a massive of brain death of where once a month, it's a small world nowadays, everybody said. It used to be once a year, but now it's a small world. You know, we have every single hospital in the world. This is connected to every single hospital. So we have now reported cases once a month of whatever tests they're doing to determine brain death that the mice of the guy came back, right? Now, if it would be Hutta's Roisha, if his head got knocked off, that means that once a month we have Nisim. You can't have once a month a nace, right? LMI, you could have once a month. Now, explain this. You guys all want to know, what is the pshat? The guy's brain is dead. So I'll explain. If a person, chas v'chalili, drowns, right, chas v'shalom, he drowns in water, right? And they take him out 40 minutes later, right? Especially if it's in cold water, right? This is a dover yadua, that hatzalah, whatever, chas v'shalom, shouldn't be together. They will work on this person, and they work, what are they, crazy? He's been underwater for 45 minutes, right? But they're working with, why? Because the body has a certain mechanism, which is a shutdown mechanism. It's a phenomenal pillar of the Bria, and there have been many, many stories where a person had drowned. Okay, I don't know what the number is, you know, there comes a point where obviously not, right? But there, the story that recently was, there's a recent story, was for 45 minutes. It was a boy in Finland. It was the colder the water, the better the water, right? But the body had shut down for 45 minutes, but it went into like a freeze mode. Not much like Stand a freeze by. Mode. What's the word? Stand but like Morse than spin. You know, like virus. You know, like mamish. You know, it's something like total standby for 45 minutes, and therefore they're able to bring him back. So now, that's why it's not a pella that you can have once a month. Obviously, it's not going to be more than once a month, right? But you could have once a month, you can have this kind of a matzid where the next morning, this guy is walking around, and, you know, while they're on the table trying to take out his liver, and he's like, no, I'm alive, what are you doing? No, you're not alive. No. It's just a figment of your imagination, right? And then the loving relatives are there going, he's moving. Now, you think this is a joke, right? There have been many, many stories where, you know, they invite the family in. By the goyim, this isn't by the Jews, you know. But, you know, they invite the family in. They find it to be like nostalgic soothing, and I don't know, that they should be the one to pull the plug. You know, it's like they need closure. They need closure of this reality. So they'll say, okay, you know, would you like to be the one to do it? Yeah, and the psychologist that's there would say it's very healthy for you to kill your father. I mean, he'll come in and he'll give his father a kiss. All of a sudden, this is geboit. This is mamish. You look in all the medical journals and they have a problem with this. All of a sudden, he sees his father going like this, right? Yeah. So he's alive. He's alive, right? So they say, no. It's the body has, what's the word? Let's see if you guys know. Like certain reflexes. Come on, give me a better word, right? What? Spasms. You're going to be in trouble in a minute. Any other word you want to say? Reflexes, spasms, right? What's the problem? Anybody have a problem with that? Ever have a problem with the body having reflexes and spasms?
Brain's right? Alive.
The brain's alive. I don't want to say that. All right. We can all get in trouble. So if you say reflexes, maybe we can talk. If you say spasms, you said the word spasms. You shouldn't have said spasms. I'm sorry, is my hand moving? You shouldn't say spasms, right? Spasms means that there's a message being given from the brain, right? The brain is dead. There's no brain. So they tell him, they change the nusach. So the nusach is now, it's certain reflexes. Now, I want to tell you a few interesting reflexes that cannot be. I remember when I was learning in the Chevra Kedisha, I was learning Hilchot Avelis, right? So I was learning how to do a Tyro. Yeah. So, you know, you go to Shamgar at 12 o'clock at night, this is not the place to be. You understand? So we went in there and we're doing a Tyro. Now, I'm not very good at this, and, you know, there were too many spooky stories or something like that that people had told me or that I'd seen. And, you know, all of a sudden you're doing the Tyra, and all of a sudden you feel like, you know, something like this. All right? I'm looking this way and this way, and there's somebody who's going like this to me. All right? And there's nobody else in the room except for Anshul, the Chevra Kedisha man, and myself. And I feel this and this, and I go, right? And you see Anshul, and Anshul goes, ah. So go on, and Yiddish is a different word. They don't have spasms. They don't have reflexes. They have different words. Verstehst? You know, but there, that could be a spasm. That could be a reflex, right? But a body doesn't have the ability to sit up. Right? There's certain why, because the spine is where the brain message to go to the spine to be able to sit up is an intricate system, and you can never have that. So let's say, you know, right before he's about to, look at the marshal. Let's say right before he's about to say goodbye to dad forever, right? So he goes over and he gives his father a kiss, and his father does like a headbutt, you know, a headbutt, right? So then if you say the word spasm now, you're a liar. If you say the word reflex now, you're a liar. If you say any other word now, you're a murderer. But, you know, we're not allowed to say things like that. But I'm just trying to show you, Rabbi Yisai, that therefore, you know, Rav Moshe's definition, when he said all of the cells in the brain are dead, was very bedafka. You need to have all the cells in the brain are dead. But Reg, I have even one cell of the brain is alive. That's why you can have a reality of where somebody, quote unquote, could wake up after a month. Now, I mask him, of course, that 99.9.999 are not waking up. Because once you have such a cessation of brain cell motion, etc., it's over. However, that would be termed in halacha as a permanent coma. And a permanent coma would not be called death. And therefore, to allow them, chas v'chalila, to pull plugs and allow them, etc., etc., would be murder according to all shitas. That's why this shayla, as much fun as we had, but this shot is very not pasha. Very not pasha. And again, you must remember, if we're coming in with the necessity of organs, so then avada, we're going to redeem this person. But when we're coming in with the other, you know, we can't ask the shiloh from that direction. But the passing the Shaila, I just want to end with one Nakuda, something is very difficult. Right? Has anybody any questions on that? It's clear, no? That I think it's quite clear, right?
So, sorry? Is there anything in this part of the head that sends that's what's the
logic? Basically, yeah, basically. And there's anything that's within the I think in English called the cranium, right? But anything that's within the skull cap, basically, all that bean looking stuff, right? So you can call it what you want, but that's brain, right? And that whatever that is, you know, come on, we can't from that point have any motion, any messages, any cells that are alive, right? Which is why once you read this from Maisha Tshuva, you sort of lose your cheshek for doing any type of transplant, because who's going to be the person that's going to be able to say all the cells in the brain are dead? We know their tests are not testing for all the cells in the brain are dead. They don't need that. They only require one thing. They require permanent coma, permanent irreversible coma. You're going to say, what do you mean it's not irreversible? We heard this and this and this. Fine, their definition, 99.9. And again, you know what? In what we started with in the Shir, with the uptight of the Ben Noyach, it's not so bad what they're doing, right? Yesh Ladin. Yesh Ladin, if what I'm saying, this entire Shir would be true for a Ben Noyach. Now, with that Hakdama that I gave in the beginning of the Shir, that the Gedarim of a Ben Noyach are societal, right? Is he causing here a loss of life? You can start hearing. Maybe for a Ben Noyach, if he does this, maybe it's not called societal, has had a chasarin over here. You can hear. I mean, the Maisa, here's a guy who's not going to be doing anything for society, right? He's doing the Maisa called Kulay Ado Chesed to help somebody else. You can hear it. Right, but in the Yiddish taich of Ritzicha, right, not the Ben Noyach taich, like we explained. So there, it's you're doing an action which is poigim in an oilamis, which affects your nesham, which affects his nesham, which affects everyone, and therefore it can be mamish the opposite. It's an unbelievable thing. By us to perform an abortion wouldn't be Ritzicha. It'd be us, but it wouldn't be a Ritzicha. By Ben Noyach, the opposite. By him to perform an abortion would be mamish Ritzicha, because for him everything's totally in society. Look what you did to society, a loss of a 97 year life because of you. That's how you have to dine over here. I'm sorry, you want to ask something?
That's not the serious case, because if all the brain
is the problem is like this. There was no case. It wasn't like there was a case that Ramesh dealt with. It was that Ramesh was asked if you would have such a reality of total brainstem death legamri, right? Total brain cell cessation. So Ramesh said that would be called Hutas Raishai. That would be called his head is decapitated. It's not attached to his body anymore, right? But now we can't go back and say, oh, see, Ramesh was making on this case. There was no case. So Ramesh said a klal. We have to now see if that klal fits wherever it is. So that's why it's an interesting thing. Anytime I ever talk to Rav Yashiv about these shilas, everyone knows Rav Yashiv is machmir. Anyways, he held that it's totally in the heart. It's not telling anything else, right? But Rav Yashiv, he held it was very disrespectful to Rav Moshe. Anybody who walks around and says that Rav Moshe is, you know, makel on this, because there's no Rav Moshe. There's no Rav Moshe. It's where Rav Moshe. You'd be right if there was a case, and even then we'd have to be mafakvik, because we'd have probably new medical reality nowadays. This reality of the hemostasis was something that wasn't told to most of the doctors. You know, the people that were doing the transplants, like we saw before, it was a black market. They had when this came out, for example, Harvard reconvened an entire, you know, the entire committee to read 1989 to define what's called is brain death enough. So what's this reconvening? We already established that brain death is enough, that permanent coma is enough. Yeah, but now it's true that permanent coma is enough, but how do we say when we have permanent coma, yet we have messages still being given to the body? Okay, so they decided that's still okay, because it's vital, permanent coma. But you understand that for us, that's not enough. Yeah, that's the basic. Now, there's other stuff here. You know, I must admit also, you know, a lot of my information comes, there is the RCA, is I don't think they're known for their tremendous kanoyas in America. RCA is the Rabbinical Council of America. I'm not sure if they're known as the great kanoyim, you know, like you hear such things. You think, well, maybe in Machmir, they wrote a 112-page kuntres about maybe 9 years ago or 10 years ago, where they basically, it's a group of young Talmidei Chachamim, and they went around with all of the different shitas of what's called death in halacha, let's say, you know, Rav Yashiv, right? And then they went with the Rabbanut's definition of what's called brain death, which allows for transplantation, like we explained, because at that point the person is called dead in their definition. And they said, you know, it doesn't stem. You know, who does it go with? It doesn't go to Rav Yashiv. So they said, well, it goes to Rav Moshe. And that's where this whole conversation came from. No, so if it goes to Rav Moshe, but even according to Rav Moshe, it doesn't stem. These are the words of Rav Moshe, and this is what you are doing. So it doesn't stem. You know, so you understand that what we're talking of here is probably, not even, it's a big pella that anybody quotes nowadays and says, according to Rav Moshe. Now, could you have a case? Of course you could have a case. Right? But we will never be able to determine if that case is good according to Rav Moshe, because the tests that they are doing do not prove Rav Moshe. So I'll never be able to do a transplant based on that information. Okay, there's a lot more. It could be maybe if, what's it called? It's such a nice, happy topic. Right? Maybe next week. I'm not sure. We'll see. Maybe there's a few other things, but usually I don't like going over time. So have a good Shabbos, guys.
Is it up there in the first place?
I hope I didn't insult anyone here tonight.
I'm glad.
I'm sorry.
Wait, so are we allowed to organ farm, Graham?